Now today we're talking about the preacher's life.
그들이 뭐지 소심이 고집되기 꼴에 로질라비가니.
The most important thing for you and me is that we grow in holiness.
다카 최초들아 가지 못해 집에 오지 나다 최디 긴축이 텐나로 담비 담바베디기 배 포자리니.
The great need and your the greatest need of your church is your own holiness.
내 주기 최초들아 가치우다 고비 가지 못해 집에 오지 나 야지 최디 담바베디니 들위.
You must teach the truth. You must show the truth.
내 주기 덴버디 주기 뜬고 내 덴버디 덴버베디기 배치 되고.
So this morning we talked about the necessity of holiness.
내 다리기 조마 나질로 덴버베 되고비 가지비 카초이나 되기 로지컬 로지락치.
God commands it.
내 경주기 가자나니.
It's the way to heaven.
내 야 신금로 주니기 남치디.
It's a requirement for leadership.
내 나체 고집에 베니기 조족기 되는 시에디.
It's necessary for fruitfulness.
내 대부 손이기 되는야 담바베 되고비 카치.
And it makes people gives us trustworthiness.
내 나체에게 넘고나 베드베치려야 로테 축베 주투비.
Now I want to talk about number two. The foundation of holiness. Holiness is foundation or its source. Obviously you know Jonka. Can you write that in Jonka? They need to write that in.
Later on we can help it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ani dato nalu ya ingina jiri du bamon. Te tama jongha nalu kiju bebe gobya chibe ochin te ngalu suna te ngai charu bege.
Or its source.
Te yanjin jungkung damba be deni gi jungkung di gatane na jungsa.
We want to answer this question. Where does holiness come from? Where does it begin? And this is our answer. The foundation of holiness is true conversion. Now this is very simple but very important. We must examine our own life. We must examine our own preaching. And we must help people understand what it means to be a true Christian. How do we become a Christian? I go to many places in China. And I travel to India and Nepal. And I ask many people their testimony. When did you become a Christian? How do you become a Christian? And they give me many strange answers. And some people don't have an understanding of what it means to be a true Christian. Before a baby grows, he has to be born. Before a person can grow in holiness, they have to be born again. Many people are confused. They have a false experience. They come in the church. They have a nice feeling. They think they're converted. And we baptize them. But they never grow. They never change. And we wonder what's wrong with them. They never bear any fruit. There's no root. Before a man can grow, he must be truly converted. I ask many people this question. When did you become a Christian? Some people say this. I was born a Christian. My grandfather, grandmother Christian. My mother and father Christian. When I was born, I'm a Christian. Let me ask you a question. Is anyone born a Christian? If your father and mother are Christian and you're born, when you come out of your mother's womb, are you a Christian? Is that right or wrong? Many people have a false hope. Being born in a Christian family does not make you a Christian. That's a great blessing to be born in a Christian family. But that doesn't make you a Christian. This is the problem the Jews had. When Jesus was talking to the Jews, this is what they thought.
In John chapter 8,
Jesus is talking to the Jews. And in verse 31, he says this. If you continue my word, then you're truly my disciples. They said that Jesus said the truth will make you free. Verse 33. What did they say? We are Abraham's children. We are the true Israelites. We've not enslaved to anyone. Abraham is our father. What were they hoping in? They were hoping in their religious background. But listen carefully. No one is born a Christian. We are born with a sinful heart. We are born under the wrath of God. We were born separated from God. So being born in a Christian family is not true conversion. I ask other people, when did you become a Christian? They say, I understand the Bible. I understand who Jesus is. I know why he died on the cross. But there's no evidence in their life. They have an understanding of the truth, but no evidence of the truth. Now, many people think just because they understand the Bible, that makes them a Christian. But remember what the book of James says. You believe God is one God? The devil also believes. And when Jesus walked on this earth, what did the demons say? You're the Son of God. You are the Holy One from God. The devil and the demons believe in Jesus. Right here. But listen carefully. Just understanding in your mind is not true conversion. That's not enough. I ask other people, when were you converted? They say this. Well, my house was right next to the church building. And it was Christmas time, and they were having a Christmas program. And they were playing the Christmas music. And I heard the music. And I began to cry. And my heart was moved. Now I'm a Christian. Now listen carefully. Just having emotional experience does not make you a Christian. Many people can weep. Many people can feel sorry. Many people say, I'm going to follow Jesus.
Yes, can you be wrong?
They say, I'm going to follow Jesus. But their emotion is just temporary. It's for a moment. Remember in Matthew chapter 13, the sower went out to sow some seed, and it fell on different soil, and one of them received it with joy. They were very happy. But afterward, they turned away. Why? Gachibe. No root. Listen carefully. Emotional experience may lead you to salvation, but that's not salvation. You understand what we're saying? You remember in the book of Acts, chapter 24? Paul is preaching to Felix. And Felix was a sinful man. And Paul preached three things. What did he preach? Righteousness. Self-control. And the judgment to come. And what happened to Felix? What did he do? He had an emotional experience. But he was never truly converted. So emotional experience is not true conversion. I ask other people, when were you converted? They say this, I was in the hospital. I was sick. I had cancer. I was about to die. Some believers came. They put their hands on me and prayed for me. I was healed. Now I'm a Christian. Now let me ask you a question. Is physical healing true conversion? Remember Luke chapter 17. Jesus is walking down the road. And 10 lepers stood at a distance. And they said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And when they turned to go to the priest, they were healed. But one of them, a Samaritan, when he saw he was healed, what did he do? He turned around and went back to Jesus. And he fell down. And he thanked Jesus. What did Jesus say? Were there not 10 lepers healed? The other 9, where are they? Is only one turned back to Samaritan? And what did Jesus say to that Samaritan? Your faith has saved you. Let me ask you a question. How many were physically healed? How many?
10.
How many were saved?
Lune
What does that teach us? Jesus healed many people that did not become truly converted. Now, physical healing may lead to salvation. But that is not true salvation. I ask other people, when were you converted? They say, well, in 1999, I was baptized and joined the church. They think baptism is salvation. They think joining the church is salvation. But listen carefully. A man can be baptized and he can join the church but not be a true Christian. And if you do not preach clearly, you will baptize dead men. They're spiritually dead. They've never been born again. But they come to the church. They sit in the pew. They have nice clothes. They have one problem. They're spiritually dead. Your responsibility is to clearly preach the truth so men will not be confused. True conversion is not baptism and joining the church. Now if a person believes, should they be baptized? Of course. Should they join a church? Of course. But that does not save them. Listen carefully. The problem in many churches and even the problem in some pulpits, the man in the pulpit and the man in the pew are not truly converted. So why doesn't a church grow? Why don't people change? Because they don't have the root. And the root is true conversion. It's not any of these things. It's not being born in a Christian family. It's not just understanding the Bible. It is not a physical healing. It is not an emotional experience. It is not baptism. It's not joining the church. So if I ask you this question, how does a man become a Christian? What is true conversion? If someone came to you and said, what must I do to be saved? What would you tell them? Join the church? Be baptized? Be a moral, outward, nice person? Just believe in your head? Trust your father and mother? What is true conversion? If I ask you a question and ask you to write down your answer, give me a simple definition of true conversion.
What
would you say? Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
What does trust
mean?
What is and who is the
Lord?
If you tell people, just trust in the Lord,
I trust the Lord.
Is that all you have to do to be a Christian? I already trust the Lord. Trust the Lord for what? You have to be more specific. Because everyone trusts the Lord.
Except Christ yet
believe.
What does it mean to accept? I talked to some Hindus. They had their gods right here. They accept all these gods. Oh, you tell me to accept Jesus. Okay, I'll accept Jesus. I have this God. I accept Him. I have this God. I accept Him. I accept Jesus. I accept Him, God. You must be more specific. You must use the biblical language. Let me give you a simple definition of true conversion. Look in the book of Acts and chapter 20. Beginning in verse 17, Paul is speaking to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And he does two things. He describes his own ministry. That's verses 17 to 27.
And
then he tells these preachers, these pastors, what their ministry should be.
Now,
this is a very important passage for pastors. Because Paul is a good example of how to be a preacher. Look at verse 18.
It
says, you know, from the first day I was in Asia, I was with you the whole time.
He
He loved them and he spent time with them. He didn't just walk in, preach to them, and leave.
Verse 19.
He said, I serve the Lord with humility and tears. He was not proud. He was a true servant. He had deep emotion and love for them. And he was willing to suffer in order to serve them. Now look at verse 20. He had courage. He was willing to tell them the truth. He said, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. And he just didn't preach to them publicly, he taught them from house to house. Now look at verse 21. Very important verse. Write this verse on your heart. This is a simple definition of true conversion. Verse 21. True conversion has two parts. What are those two parts? What's the first thing? Repentance toward God. What's the second part? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not enough to tell people to trust Jesus. It's not enough to tell them to accept Jesus. It's not right to tell them this. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. If you open the door, he will come in. Now listen carefully. That's the wrong interpretation of that verse. That's not what Jesus meant. He's not knocking on the door of a lost sinner.
Heart.
If you do not properly interpret the Bible, you cannot clearly preach the gospel. Some preachers preach this. Do you want to be a Christian? Then you need to accept Christ. How do you do that? Well, you ask Jesus into your heart. Jesus is at the door of your heart. And he's knocking. Please let me in. Please let me in. There's no handle on the outside. I can't get in. You must open the door. Please open the door. Is that what it means to be a Christian? Listen carefully. Many people in India and Nepal and Bhutan are confused. Because the preaching is not clear. And the preaching is not biblical. And the preachers do not interpret the Bible properly. So I want to give you some homework.
And
I want you to go back tonight and I want you to study Revelation chapter
3 verse 20.
And I want you to answer this question. What door is Jesus knocking
on?
Study the context of the verse. Context means the surrounding
context.
Look at the whole passage. Context. The surrounding. Many people, preachers make this mistake. They take one verse. Tear it out of its context, out of its surroundings. Shake it off. Give it a new meaning. And then preach it to the people. Is that right?
No.
So tomorrow when we get together, I want you to answer that question. What door is Jesus knocking on? But Paul says this. Chapter 20, verse 21. He says, this truth is for all people, both Jews and Greeks. And true conversion has two parts. You see that door right there? It's got two doors. You must open both doors. That's like the gate of salvation. And if a man wants to enter into the kingdom of God, he must go through that door. And it has two parts. Repentance toward God.
And
faith in the Lord Jesus
Christ.
That's not enough to say repent and believe. That's not enough.
근데 아니지, 저기 샘 주신 날에 내가 계속 love 땅치기 따르라면서.
You need to define what repentance is.
근데 저기 아니지, 샘 주신 날에 내가 가지나 아니기 제시했다고.
And you need to define what faith is.
근데 저기 도로 내가 뜻으로 가지나 아니기 고해 이기고.
Here's what we want to do.
그래서 마치 나로 라지 비게.
We're saying true conversion has two parts. We want to study the first part of true conversion, repentance.
And
we want to mention several things. The necessity of repentance. The source of repentance. The definition of repentance. And the results of repentance. The results. Now we're talking about the foundation of holiness. What is its source? Where does it begin? It begins with true conversion. And we're saying true conversion has two parts.
The
first repentance toward God. And we're going to ask several questions. Why is repentance necessary? Where does repentance come from? What is the definition of repentance? What is the result of repentance? You say, I already know this. This is too simple. But listen carefully. A big problem in the church is the preaching is not clear. And the people are confused. And they have a false experience. They pray a little prayer. Or they have a little feeling in their heart. You say, now you're a Christian. So this is very serious. The most important question in all the world. What must I do to be saved? And if you don't give a clear answer, people will be confused. Your responsibility is to clearly preach the truth. So I ask you this question. Have you repented? Do you Preach repentance. Do your people understand the importance of repentance? This is very important. So we want to talk about these basic things. First of all, the necessity of repentance. Let's look at several verses. We're talking about repentance. Why are we talking about repentance? Because repentance is necessary for conversion. And conversion is necessary for holiness. Let's write these verses down. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 5. And verse 31 and 32. Well, let's look at verse 30. That the Pharisees, scribes were complaining about his disciples, saying, "This man eats with sinners."
Verse 31.
Jesus said, "It's not those who are well need a doctor, but those who are sick."
Verse
32. Look at the verse. Why did Jesus come? He said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Why did Jesus come? To preach to sinners. And what was his message? Repent. If Jesus preached it, it is necessary. Look at chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus repeats this twice. Verse 1. There was some report about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices. Pilate killed some Galileans. Jesus said, "You think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?"
Verse 3.
What did Jesus say? "No, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish."
Verse 5.
He says it again. "I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish." Or let me ask you a question. According to Jesus, if you don't repent, what will happen? You will perish. If you do repent, what will happen? You won't perish. Why is repentance necessary? Because Jesus preached it. That's why he came. And if Jesus preached it, we must preach it.
Why is it
necessary? Because if you don't repent, you will perish.
Now
notice chapter 24
in Luke.
We're talking about the necessity of repentance.
Verse 45.
Jesus has risen from the dead.
So
and he is teaching two of his disciples. And he says, verse 46, it's written, Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. This is the gospel. Now look at verse
47.
What were they supposed to preach? Look at the verse. What did they preach? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins preached in His name to all the nations. Let me ask you a question. What is the relationship between repentance and forgiveness of sins? If you repent, your sins will be forgiven. If you don't repent, your sins will not be forgiven. What is Jesus teaching? If you want the forgiveness of sins, you must repent. We could look at other verses, but we'll stop with those. Luke 24, 45 and following. Now do you see this very clearly? According to Jesus, repentance is necessary. And if you read the book of Acts, you would see that Peter and Paul preached repentance. Write these verses down. Acts chapter 2. 38. Let's see here. Acts chapter 2. Verse 38. Also write Acts 17. And verse 30. Acts 26. Verses 17 to 20. Now you can look at those verses later. But they clearly teach this truth. The necessity of repentance. Any questions? Now, why are we talking about repentance? Because it's part of true conversion. And why is true conversion important? Because it is the foundation for and source for holiness. Let me ask you a question. If a baby is born dead, will that baby grow? No. Why? No life. Some people come to church. They say they're Christians. They never grow. Their life never changes. What's the problem? Maybe they've not been truly converted. Now when a man dies, they dress him up in some nice clothes. When a man dies, they wash his body. Comb his hair. Put lots of flowers around it. He looks almost alive. But he's dead. Now there are many people in church just like that. They come to church, wash their body, comb their hair, fix their hair, put on nice clothes, but they're spiritual dead men. What's the problem? They've never been truly converted. Now we want to take a break right now. But listen carefully. Telling people to trust the Lord is not enough. Telling people to accept Jesus is not enough. Telling people to invite Jesus into your heart is not enough. We must follow Jesus, Paul, and Peter. If you want to be a true Christian, if you want forgiveness of sins, if you want to go to heaven, you got to do two things. You must repent and you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must clearly preach it. You must explain it according to the Bible. And then you must exhort and encourage and challenge people. So my question to you is this. Have you repented? Are you preaching repentance? This is very serious. Why? Because Jesus said this. One day people will get to the door of heaven. They'll knock on the door. Who were you? Lord, I'm a preacher. I preach in Bhutan. I travel all over the country. I preached in your name. I perform miracles in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I baptize many people. I never knew you. Did you hear that? I never knew you. Who's he talking to? Preachers. This is very serious. You must repent. You must preach repentance. And you must encourage and help others to make sure they have repented. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about this some more. Any questions? Do you see this in the Bible? Listen carefully. Is it not my opinion? What Jesus said. What Peter said. What Paul said. And if they preached it, you must preach it. Well, let's pray and take a break. Pray for us.